Well, let's jump in. We have a pretty full agenda. There's a couple of points of order to begin with, and then we've got some discussion about issues coming up. I'll just paste in the modified agenda from email. Let's see, did that work? There we go. Agenda intros to begin with. Revitrust in Paris was just nominated as a topic, and then the items that were in the email from Manu yesterday. John, welcome to the call. You want to give us a quick intro to who you are and what brought you to the Verifiable Claims meeting today?
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is John Koshy. I'm a freelance consultant working for a healthcare nonprofit in the Washington, D.C. area. And the mission of the nonprofit is to reduce administrative costs in healthcare, and with the primary focus on provider data and credentialing. And so when the ONC invited white papers for the White Paper Challenge, me and some of my colleagues wrote a white paper about how blockchain can help reduce some of these administrative costs by putting all the data on the blockchain and how it can help credentialing. And at the ONC conference is when I met Manu and kind of got introduced to this group, and wanted to see what this is all about, and I wanted to see if I can be of any help. So that's how I got involved in this whole group.
Great. Welcome.
Thanks.
It's good to have someone from the medical community on the line on a regular basis, another one. So I hope you find value in it and stay connected with us.
Thank you.
All right. Web of Trust in Paris, it's the topic there. Let's change next topic.
Yeah, this is Christopher Allen. I've been hosting a number of conferences on the topic of rebooting the Web of Trust architectures, self-sovereign identity, et cetera, that a number of members of the Verifiable Claims community are participating in. And we've been meeting semi-annually. We had a meeting about a month ago. The next one, the last three have been in the United States. The next one is currently planned for Paris on the 21st of April, 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Paris to continue trying to move forward our agenda of some solutions here. We're very oriented toward using and being a customer of Verified Claims for self-sovereign identity assertions. That's it.
We're taking this as an invitation to the group to please come to Paris and participate.
Yeah. We have found the various members who have come from Verifiable Claims to be, you know, very useful. I think vice versa.
Great.
A quick comment, Matt. I'm on the queue.
So
I'm wondering if we should try to organize the Verifiable Claims face to face with rebooting. I mean, I agree with Christopher. I think there's been a great amount of cross-pollination there. We get people that we wouldn't otherwise get involved. So we've got a couple of opportunities to cross-pollinate. We've got the Internet Identity Workshop, and we've got the Rebooting Web of Trust initiative. Because we've had the Verifiable Claims meetings basically in the U.S. And because W3C TPAC is going to be in the U.S. in Burlingame at the end of 2017, we would like to get a bit more of a European flavor into the group. So you know, it's just an open question to the group. I think there's plenty of time to discuss, but maybe we want to consider co-locating or attaching on to the beginning of the end of rebooting in Paris. So the question, I guess, to Christopher is, you know, is there a, do we have a venue yet or any of that stuff?
Yeah, so we're trying to get sponsors to actually be able to be at a retreat center and be able to have that be funded by the sponsors. But in lieu of that, it would be at the Palais Brongniart. It's the old stock exchange in Paris. We certainly have access to you know, facilities at the stock exchange there. David Roberts is the contact. So you know, if you wanted to have space on the days immediately before, or there's some utility for immediately after because it's right before IEEE S&P, and there may be some crossover there as well, that Monday, Tuesday, I'm sure he can arrange it.
Good to know. Thanks.
Many, let's see, anybody else on the queue before I jump in? Manny, this is Stone. In terms of timing for the first face-to-face, if we get the approval to become a working group first of year, is April kind of a reasonable timing for that meeting?
Yeah, it's a little on the late side,
yeah.
But it's good because it's kind of in the middle of the year. There'll be a good gap between that and W3CT PAC. It's really up to the working group, you know, to decide. And because we've had a face-to-face meeting already, we won't be in the same position that other working groups are in, meaning like, you know, Phil Archer was right in that working groups don't really get rolling until everyone gets to sit down and have a meal together and talk. But we've kind of already done that with a fairly good chunk of this group, so it might be okay to delay the first face-to-face until April.
Right. And we're certainly, feels like we're underway talking about the SPAC and issue prioritization before the working group even begins. So I think we can counter that resistance pretty easily.
Agreed.
Great. Always looking for an excuse to go to Paris.
And it's not an ugly place in the spring.
In April, right. All right. Thanks, Christopher.
Certainly.
The next list of items were in the agenda were introduced by Manu in the email. The first one up is issue prioritization. Manu, is this a discussion about how do we want to prioritize the issues that are there, categorization of issues as they're logged, that kind of general discussion?
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
You want to kick us off and kind of maybe explain how we've done it with other working groups and which of those techniques might fit for us here?
Sure. So we've got a number. I put a link into IRC, and that's basically our issue list on the specification. And it was nice to see a healthy amount of discussion happening over the last week. So we've got people from the community group. Stephen Rowlatt has submitted a bunch of issues. John Tibbetts has created a number of issues. So that's great. Like, that's a good, healthy start to issue discussion. But now we have, like, you know, 27 issues open, and we need to start categorizing and prioritizing these, primarily because issue discussion on these calls takes a while. The best I've seen a group do is get through like maybe 8 issues in a call, and that's when everyone already knows what the decision's pretty much going to be. But for things that require more detailed discussion, we might get maybe to four issues on average, but sometimes only one or two. So if you, you know, look at the issues we have, this could easily be a year worth of discussion. I don't think it is. But, you know, as we get more and more issues, we're going to have to aggressively prioritize and call and group. So the question is, you know, exactly how are we going to prioritize all the issues that we have right now? As Matt mentioned previously, the official working group hasn't started up, and we don't expect that until January at some point. And what can happen when the working group spins up is that because there were people that will join the working group that are not here with us on a week-to-week basis now, they will either request or insist that old issues are opened up, especially if they're controversial things. Like, for example, our decision around the use of JSON Web Token, JWTs, or linked data signatures, and how we do that, I expect that to take many months before the group is comfortable with its position on that. Whereas other things like misspellings and reordering the spec, those are decisions we can make now, and people are not going to request that that issue be reopened later on. So the suggestion to the group is we prioritize important issues right now that we can resolve without there being a risk of them being reopened once the working group starts. Right. So last week we had a discussion on JWTs, which was really good to kick off that discussion so everyone understands the digital signature ramifications around the technologies that we're suggesting be used. But that is not something we want to resolve before the working group starts. There are other issues like those around privacy. So we have, like, I don't know, 15 issues around privacy that are also going to be kind of long-term discussion topics that we're just going to want to, you know, leave open for a while so the group can get a good amount of discussion in on them and close them out. So that's another category. There's the digital signature stuff that we probably shouldn't close out, but everyone should get up to speed with. There's the privacy stuff that fits into the same bucket. And then there's stuff that, for example, Stephen Rowat and John Tibbetts opened over the last week, which are really good candidates for discussion between now and the beginning of the year. So specifically, you know, John Tibbetts raised the question on, you know, should we, there's this general category of question around, should we express as JSON, you know, verify the claims as JSON in the spec and downplay JSON-LD? Should we have two different sections, one on JSON, one on JSON-LD? Should we even have a WebIDL section in the spec, or should we move it out? All those questions we can probably make some decisions on and then actually make spec changes or suggest, you know, spec changes without there being this big kerfluffle when the working group spins up. So that's the suggestion, is that we prioritize in that way. I've seen three main categories around discussion so far. One of them is around JSON, JSON-LD, that discussion. There's editorial stuff that we can try to resolve without bringing that up on the call. So those are the two main things that I think we could probably talk about on the call. And then everything else is in the bucket of, like, digital signatures and privacy, which we should talk about but not make any resolutions on before the working group spins up. So hopefully that's a kind of a good introduction on how we might categorize. And I'll stop talking so the rest of the group can weigh in on whether they think that's a good strategy or if you'd like to try a different kind of categorization and strategy.
The queue is empty now, so I'm going to jump in for a sec. The issue or the categories that I see are the labels here. Is that right? Menu, editorial, privacy, security, feature request, substantive change, the ones that are kind of in the top.
Those aren't, well, yeah, the categories I just outlined are not there yet. So that we may want to, sorry, the background I didn't give is how other groups deal with this. Usually the chairs monitor, the chairs and staff contact monitor the discussion. They are cognizant of the timeline that we have because we only really have 18 months. We really only have 9 months to nail everything down. So with that input and the current discussion concerns of the group, they figure out which issues to do on a week-to-week basis. And basically every working group, most of the working groups operate in that way, with the chairs just saying, these are the issues this week that we need to resolve, or these are the ones that look like they're close to being, we're close to resolving. So that's kind of, you know, what you do, and that is not done with the tags. Like, the tags are just to give a general idea what the issue is about, to put them into buckets. There aren't like prioritization tags. Some working groups have tried to create sprints. So they'll create a milestone and they'll add a couple of issues in that milestone, or they'll create like a to-do item and they'll list the issues and the priority that they need to be resolved. How the group manages that stuff is really up to the chairs and the staff contact. Mm-hmm. What we may want to do is have a wiki page where the chairs and the staff contact just list, like, these are our issue priorities as of this moment, and week to week you go in and you update that so that everyone knows what order we're going to be going in as a group. People are free to weigh in on each issue whenever they want to, but the group has an idea of kind of where we're heading from an issue perspective. Did that help?
Yeah. Helps me. Thank you. Oops.
Sorry, John's on.
John, you're next up on the queue.
Hi. I did. This is Tibbetts. I did put a couple of things on the issue list this week, and I'm not really trying to jump into one of them before we figure out which order we're going to.
You're breaking up really bad.
Right. Is that true? Everybody hearing that?
Yeah, you have a bit of a stutter on your mic today.
Okay. I'll tell you what, why don't we go to somebody else and I'll try to fix the problem. If I do, I'll come back.
Okay. Greg, you're next.
Yeah, I was just going to say that face-to-faces can be extremely productive in getting through some of the more gnarly issues, particularly if there's enough setup done in advance and people go in with an expectation about really what wants to be accomplished. So I would say that we should really try to grease the skids for an April face-to-face so that we have a chance of really coming through there with getting through a lot of the more gnarly work items.
That's a good observation. So that would be something we'll try to kind of pull out. And I suspect, like we did in the last face-to-face, for the 2 or 3 weeks ahead of that meeting, start setting ourselves up for those discussions. John, are you back yet?
No, he just dropped.
All right. While we wait for him, Christopher Allen, you're up.
Yeah, I'd also like to, if it's possible, to prioritize in some ways the things that are that we can close early so we can get work done.
show progress.
Like, yeah, I mean, so, you know, I'm in the midst of commissioning people to begin to use the proposed formats to do some real demos. And I recognize they're, you know, real proof of concepts. And I recognize that, you know, everything can and is able to change when something becomes a working group. But I'd like to settle some things early, like, you know, hey, we're going to be using a JSON family format. Yes, we're going to be using a some kind of you know, signature for that. Get, you know, just, you know, close out some bang, 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 easy things that allow us to move forward a little bit quicker. I don't know.
I think that's good for us as a group to do, if we can enable implementers to get started, because, you know, 9 or 9 months from now or so, we're going to really be leaning on community to say, what have you done? We need to show that there's execution and action movement in the broader community. And we don't want you to have to wait to get started. So that's a good priority hint for us. And I suspect you want to get value out of it sooner than later. So let's get out of your way.
Yeah.
John, are you back? Technical problems today by John, I think. Manu, you're up next.
Sure. Just to agree with Christopher, as some of you know, Digital Bazaar has implemented good chunks of this spec, and we have, you know, stuff out there. I think the same thing with, you know, Credit Trust and ETS. So we do have, you know, working stuff out there. And if there is anything that's blocking folks from implementing, I totally agree with Christopher. We want to get that stuff cleared first. The other thing to note is that at the end of the day, a spec is useless if there aren't implementers that are implementing. So, you know, that's another underscore under what Christopher said. You know, if we have implementers saying we really need X resolved, as a group, we should work as hard as we can to resolve that so that they can get implementations out there that we can then test and prove that we have interoperability via the test suite, the spec in the test suite. So plus one to what Christopher is saying. And so with that said, Christopher, is there anything that's blocking you right now?
Yeah, I'd say the main thing is the, you know, the questions in regards to, you know, the canonical, how we canonicize the stuff. You know, I'm not, I would love to be able to say, hey, we're going to basically do JSON-LD, but if we're not, I need to know sooner or later than later, because when we start doing the security and the crypto and whatever, that's where we're going to get crunched. And I also recognize that may be the hardest decision to get consensus on. But you know, I can survive with a verified claims format that isn't RDF. It's not preferable, but I need to know sooner than later.
How much of these kinds of decisions, Manu, or a little bit of chicken and egg discussions where the group kind of sets the spec and the implementers go forward, or the implementers decide and it becomes the spec?
So before answering that, I accidentally wiped John Tibbetts off the queue, and I think he wants to chat. So let me defer to John, and I can answer that.
Okay. John, are you back?
Yes. Is this better? Can you hear me better?
You're still breaking up a bit. Yeah, we can hear you.
It's a bit better so far.
Okay. Well, let me just try to say this quickly. I'll speak loudly. I want to make sure that before this discussion goes too far about Jason L. and Jason, that my comment isn't misinterpreted here. If you look at it fully, I strongly believe that we need to follow a Jason LD type approach, but I also think that there are some tactics that we might employ that will be a little less scary for people. We've been through this now with three different standards where we've used Jason LD, and we've started coming up with ways of making it more palatable to the broad Jason developers. I'm talking about an approach that sort of soft pedals some of the JSON LD for certain parts of the community, because not everybody needs that level of sophistication and talk about that. So I hope you could hear that, but I just wanted to make clear that I wasn't really thinking about whether it's JSON versus JSON LD, but how we can deliver the message in a more palatable, less scary way.
So let me, Christopher, you're on the queue again. I don't know if that's an old entry or not.
Yeah, I just also wanted to draw a distinction in the, here that the, I'm going to pull it. I mean, it's just, there's this whole thing, we need a strategy around how to deal with those who come back with, issues on JSON LD, and I'm totally confused on how to do it, so.
Right, okay, so let me try and answer Matt's question and then move on to what Christopher asked. So, Matt, fundamentally, implementations win. It doesn't matter what the spec says. If implementers are unwilling to do it, it's fiction in the spec.
That's what I figured.
Right. Okay. So whoever's implementing here typically has the most amount of power on what to do in the spec. Okay. So that's the short, frank answer. What Christopher asked, is canonicalization is an issue right now, and he'd like to know pretty quickly how we're going to canonicalize. The other thing to note is that we specifically kept canonicalization out of the charter because it was this lightning rod that would have created an enormous amount. It created an enormous amount of pushback where the charter couldn't get anywhere because everyone was talking about canonicalization and you have to use JWT, you cannot use anything else. And we were being blocked for a very long time because of that. So we took canonicalization out of the spec because of that. And the reason we did that was so that implementers could have a chance to decide outside of the whole standards making process, how they'd like to canonicalize. And then we could come back in round two and say, this is how you canonicalize, or these are the approaches that we've seen people take in the wild. So what the reason we did that was to allow implementers more options and how they were going to canonicalize. So that canonicalization discussion is between folks like, Christopher Allen and whoever he's commissioning to do this work, potentially Blockstream, Accredit Trust, ETS, DigitalBazaar, and whoever else is doing implementations of the verifiable claim spec. We will get together outside of the standardization process most likely and decide we are going to use JSON LD, we are going to use linked data signatures, or we are going to only specify JSON, or we're only going to use JWTs. It's easier to have that discussion kind of between companies implementing than through the W3C process, because the W3C process is very slow and deliberate, which is a good thing when you're trying to nail something, when you're trying to get consensus, but it's a bad thing when you're trying to do implementations and test and deploy. So I think the short answer to your question, Christopher, is that We're going to have to nail this stuff outside of the working group. We're going to have to nail the canonicalization stuff down outside of the working group and just give a heads up to the working group where all of us are when it comes to canonicalization. And then whatever that is, like if there are three companies that are canonicalizing in a specific way, then that will be taken as input into the working group, you know, either in the first iteration, it's probably going to have to be in the second iteration of the working group. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of why we designed the discussion around canonicalization the way we did. We didn't want it to block the work, but we wanted, and we wanted implementers to have a good bit of experience implementing and deploying before we nailed it down in the specification. So hopefully that explains why canonicalization isn't in the charter and why we haven't officially nailed that particular piece of jello to the wall yet.
So actually, it kind of feathers into the question I had. I have 2 points. One is kind of point of order. Does that make, if that's our strategy, are those kinds of discussions fair game for these calls, or should we kind of treat them as something that we're going to keep off the record for now? And secondly, Pearson just started a proof of concept to do produce verifiable claims out of the Acclaim platform to try to implement the specs, so we're active in this process as well. If we're going to do it outside of this call, what's the best mechanism to have, you know, kind of a developer community who's working on this have access to each other and be aware of what those kinds of decisions are, so we're not all trying to reinvent the same wheel?
Well, rebooting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of where it's been happening.
Yep.
So I'm on the queue next. Relating to that, of course, the community group still exists and can be an ongoing forum for these types of extra working group discussions. And in many cases, that's really the purpose of community groups, is to be able to do those types of things. But I put myself on the queue basically to react to Manu's strategy for keeping things like canonicalization out of spec and plan to get to them in a next round. I worry that that's being quite optimistic and that the time frame involved with that doesn't do a good service to the community. I think many groups start, it's really hard to get a working group done. And usually after a working group has completed, presuming that it's completed successfully, there's usually not a big appetite to go right back to it. So it could be 5 years after the end of this working group before another working group would be chartered, if even then, that would then have a remit to deal with canonicalization. So I worry about a strategy that removes canonicalization from the charter, and wonder if maybe there's a way to keep it in as something like a stretch goal, so that the working group could react to implementation experience that gets through early implementations in time to actually include that within the spec.
So I'm on the queue. I'll go if that's okay, Matt. Are you muted?
I say go for it, Manu.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I was muted. Please go ahead.
So I agree, Greg, that, you know, I think we're in a difficult place with the digital signature stuff. We're just in a really difficult place with it because, you know, the current implementers have decided JSON-LD, linked data signatures, and that's what we're implementing. But the people that have, you know, used JWT or the people primarily from the JWT community are saying we should be doing that and we shouldn't be using linked data signatures and reinventing the wheel, even though we've, you know, said there are very good reasons for the strategy that we're using when it comes to signatures. The concern is that, I mean, we were being blocked before because we said we were going to talk about signature formats and canonicalization. It was just a, it was a no-go from W3C management because they were concerned that as a standardization body, it would seem like W3C is stomping on the Internet Engineering Task Force turf. That's kind of why it's not in the spec. I think if we put it back in the spec, the same thing might happen again. But I think your points, Greg, are absolutely spot on, meaning we're doing a disservice to the community by not having some mechanism that we can use in the working group to talk about this stuff. I would imagine that it's going to happen anyway. We're already talking about it. This wasn't even on the agenda today, and we're spending a lot of time, you know, discussing it. I would expect the same kind of thing to come up in the working group. So it's, you know, I'm not.
Can't we? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm not suggesting that that is the best strategy. It's just the one that we're currently employing. And if someone can think of a better strategy, I think we'd use the better strategy.
It may not.
I just want to be. It should be in our charter if we ever hope to be able to deal with it. If it's not in the charter, then we'd be prevented from actually dealing with it.
Well, I think, you know, the reality is we're going to, you know, at a minimum deliver this, the deliverables that are in the charter today and have some discussion about implementers that are in the field. And as we go into that discussion about implementers, this will be part of the implementation that is just bundled in. So, you know, to some degree, maybe this is my naivete with the W3C, but it seems like we're going to bring it to the table one way or the other at the end when we say, here's how to do it. And the spec covers, you know, ABC and DEF is in the field.
Yep.
And it gets back to your point, Manu, about implementers win. You know, the JWT group can complain all they want that we're not using their technology, but once it's in the field using JSON-LD, that's going to become the standard.
Yeah, I'll just jump into my cue item, which is there's an element of put up or shut up. It's like, okay,
right.
You know, prove to me you can do what we need using what, you know, using JWT, and you know, demonstrate it, you know, have some code, make it all work, and then we'll, you know, I'll be glad to consider it. But, you know, every demo of JWT for verified claims type stuff like this doesn't, you know, doesn't cut it. So, I don't know.
Agreed.
Right.
So,
sorry, Matt, I was on the queue next.
Yeah.
Just to put a pin in this and kind of move on to other issues, I think, you know, this is good. It's a great discussion. It's probably not over. As Matt said, it's going to come up one way or another. It's impossible to talk about verifiable claims without, you know, how you're going to do the digital signature on it. So I'm not too concerned that we're going to get to the end of the working group and not know how to canonicalize or sign this stuff because it's just a requirement. We have to be able to do it. So it's going to happen one way or the other. And I think Christopher and Matt are right. It's, you know, put up or shut up, and it's, you know, implementation experience. It's going to happen. Yep. So just to note that we only have 15 minutes left in the call, and we haven't actually discussed. This is a good issue to discuss, but we haven't gotten to our agenda.
Well, I think I'm cutting Greg off for just a second. Has this been the Jason LD discussion that was on the agenda?
No, different discussion.
Okay. Greg, do you want to follow up quick on what you have to close, and then we'll move into the next agenda topic?
Yeah, my issue is really much more just about process and what the working group is able to do. And if there is not room in a charter, then you can't go back. And going back and revising the charter to add a work item, particularly something like that after the fact, is a fantasy. If it's something the group wants to be able to react to, we need to be sure there's room to be able to do that in the charter. And then secondly, with regards to the practicalities of test suites and things like that, if you want to be able to factor in that experience within a test suite and you're including something that isn't actually officially, can't be part of the spec, then you also have problems. So really it's just a matter of considering if there's something we want to do, making sure that the charter gives us room to do that so that we're not preventing from getting there later on.
Okay. I think this is something we'll have to come back to as we review the charter and what's approved and what our sort of initial kickoff points are. I suspect there's a honeymoon period where we might get to touch the charter again, but it sort of is what it is, and it's being voted on now.
No, it's not. It hasn't been put up to a vote yet. So we still have – sorry, go ahead.
Do we want to go shake it right now and kind of put that uncertainty into the mix, or let it ride the way it sits?
So to respond to that very quickly, here's the text we have in the charter right now that I think addresses Greg's concern. So text in the charter right now. So the text in the charter right now says, in the deliverable section, under verifiable claims, data model, and syntax, we will define or identify signature mechanisms that are capable of protecting the verifiable claims from attack, such that the claims can be trusted by consumers of those claims. I think that text doesn't allow anyone to tell us that we can't talk about canonicalization or digital signatures in the working group. So I think we're good as far as that's concerned. What we cannot do in the group, and they could use the charter to specify this, we cannot invent a new canonicalization mechanism or a new signature format. If we choose to recommend something that is happening out there in the field, I think, at least my reading of the charter is, that's totally fine. So based on us as implementers, we'll get together at rebooting a Web of Trust, work through these details, put something together, do implementations for verifiable claims, and then the working group can then say, yeah, do that. Right, and point to the work happening outside the working group. That's a totally viable thing that can happen, and the charter does not prevent us from doing that.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Let's do a time check here. We're 10 minutes from end of meeting. We had three more items on the agenda today. I'm not sure 10 minutes is enough to get through any of them. I can paste those in quick just to, as a reminder of what we hope to get to coming in. IRC. Jason LD, use of Web IDL and the privacy section discussion. Open it to the group. Are any of those topics that we can get through in 10 minutes? Or is there any we want to start on knowing that we won't get through them in 10 minutes? and we can use that for guidance as we kind of go through the end of the call today. We have one person nominating the Jason LD discussion.
I'm nominating it.
All right, Manu.
The reasoning behind it is it is a conversation that'll go on for a while, so we should start it today. Okay. And I'd like to hear from John Tibbetts now that he's got a more stable connection on his thinking behind it, and it's something that affects the entire spec, and is probably a decision we can make before we start the working group. So, John, would you mind? I mean, you're the one that kind of opened the issue. Let me point out, it's this issue right here. Wrong copy. This issue right here is the one that we're looking at. John, you kind of gave an overview, but would you like to dive into a bit more depth with it?
Sure. Yeah, can you, how's this connection? Is it
fantastic.
Better?
Fantastic.
Much better.
Much better.
Okay. Yeah. I actually, there are a couple of places in the issues that either with an issue or with a response to an issue that I've made some comment about it. But part of the gist is this, that the spec has a section on JSON and then a section on JSON-LD, and they're identical except for the at context at the beginning. And and that happens a couple of times in the identity profile section and in the entity credential section. And it seems to me that we should only specify the JSON-LD approach rather than have both of them side by side, because that we put in some language in there that says the underpinnings of this are JSON-LD, but it's still completely valid JSON. A lot of people if they don't know about JSON-LD, they think they're going to have to learn a bunch of new stuff and get into syntax that goes beyond JSON, and they're not. It's completely valid JSON. It's possible that we could, maybe have a guide that we put as an appendix to this document that talks about how to think about some of these examples that you're seeing more deeply in a linked data sense. But my experience with using JSON-LD in these is that about 80% of the people who are going to use this document to create their own verifiable claims, like we did last year with the competency-based education at IMS, they look at it and they only think of it in terms of JSON, and the context is just a little background noise that's part of the template that you adopt when you have the spec. And you don't have to get people involved in thinking about some of the underlying implications of how this representation relates to the graph model that's behind it. A certain number of people do have to think about the full implications of JSON-LD. People like Greg, who write libraries and create signature algorithms and things like that, they do have to understand it deeply. People that are designing, a lot of the basic structure of a verifiable claim may need more depth. But a lot of the people who are just consuming the spec and say, "Well, I want to build a claim that represents, something from the insurance industry," can pretty much just think about it in simpler terms. So what I'm really objecting against is that we don't have a section for JSON and a section for JSON-LD, but we come up with a more palatable way of saying this is just JSON that you're looking at, but it's constrained to a subset that still allows us to think about it as an RDF expression or as a linked data expression. I'm not sure if that's clear to folks, but that's the gist of the suggestion that I'm making.
Well, I guess, I'm sorry, I'll cue.
David, you're up, and you have something to add to John's comments?
Yeah, just a, and I'm very sympathetic to Jason LD. I just got back from ISO meetings in Paris, and there is a move afoot in the payment messaging that ISO is defined to move from XML to JSON. And one of the ideas that is has caught a lot of attention is the idea of RESTful Web Service with Hadios, which is hypermedia as the engine of state. So essentially, to me, in my very dim understanding of exactly what that means, it's not, it doesn't seem a lot different than JSON-LD. The reason I'm bringing it up is the syntax is slightly different, and I think that I think it's going to be important for us to attempt to come under to some understanding with our brethren of ISO about using JSON in the payment space as we do this work. I'm really only laying down a marker. I'm not making a technical statement because I'm not smart enough to do that. Thank you.
Hello.
Not smart enough to do that. Yeah, right. So there are other groups that have had this exact same discussion and have ended up in two different places. The first one is the web annotation model, and they took a stronger stance. So example of a stronger stance on usage of JSON-LD there. And then there was a fairly big kind of, I don't want to say fight, but fairly big disagreement on JSON versus JSON-LD and the compromise that the activity streams group came to. So this came out of the Social Web Working Group, Social Web Working Comments on Use of JSON-LD. So the Social Web Working Group did something that I think would meet both John Tibbetts and David Zell's requirements that they just kind of outlined very loosely, right? So the Social Web Working Group basically says, look, the data format is JSON, here it is, but you have to be able to interpret it as JSON-LD. So it's a subset of JSON-LD that does not require JSON-LD processing, but because it has, you know, this ontology and vocabulary, everything's machine readable, everything's machine processable, and that meets, you know, all the requirements that these, you know, linked data semantic web people have, while making the people that just want to deal with JSON data fairly happy. So there are two examples of compromises along this spectrum that we should probably learn from and follow to some degree. So let me stop there.
Christopher, you've been on the keeper a bit. We have a two-minute check.
I'm sympathetic with and possibly the strategy that was discussed of just literally pulling out the that part of the thing and moving it into a separate document or whatever, and simply saying, You have to have a form of canonicizing it. It's not, you know, that's in a separate document or whatever. But my experience with the trying to do the DID spec, where David and Manu were basically explaining how the JSON that we constructed would be would have problems with the graph model and how to reconstruct it such that it was compatible with the graph model was significant. I don't actually know how to quite reproduce. So then the question I put to them is, you know, can we, without saying graph model, can we put enough constraint into something pre-canonical that that won't break the graph model, and I'm not expert enough to say if that's possible. So,
I think the short answer, Christopher, is right now we don't know what those constraints would look like, and they would seem really weird to someone that's just used to working with JSON. So you're either saying tree model or graph model. If we say JSON, we're saying tree model, and those kind of become the constraints. But if we want to use JSON-LD or have that compatibility there, I don't think we've ever actually figured out how to. I don't think we know what those constraints. We know what the constraints are. We don't know how to convey those constraints to a web developer such that they'll actually understand what the constraints are. More work needs to be done in that.
That's why we may have to have it. And maybe an answer to him as far as the why we can't pull those sections out and just say, you have to canonicize it.
Right.
All right. Well, we need to time check. We're a minute over our time today, so we'll have to pick this discussion up next week. Thanks for the great discussion today, everyone. This was pretty spirited and a lot more fun than the politics of W3C, which has dominated us for the last couple of months. So we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, all. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Bye.